Thank you for coming on the eve of this great weekend, Memorial Day. There's a man named John who had a memory problem. Y'all ever have a memory problem? One day John ran into a friend named Bill. He hadn't seen him in a long time. He greeted Bill and said, "Bill, do you remember? I used to have a real bad memory problem." And Bill said, "Yes, I remember that." And he said, "Well, now it's so much better. I went to a seminar, and they taught me a few things, and now my memory is just phenomenal." And Bill said, "Well, that's great. What's the name of the seminar?" And John said, "Well, wait a minute. Let me ask my wife." And so he turned to his wife, and he turned back, and he said, "John, what's the name of that flower with a long stem? What's the name of the flower with long stem, thorns, and red bloom, and he said, "You mean a rose?" And he said, "Yes, thank you." He turned to his wife and said, "Rose, what's the name of that seminar?" You know, there are some things we should not forget. Amen? We shouldn't forget God's Word, the principles in God's Word, the truths in God's Word, because it teaches us how to live. We shouldn't forget the commitments we made to God and to others and stuff. We shouldn't forget our salvation, obviously, that God has given us. We shouldn't forget a lot of things. And I think even under that umbrella, we shouldn't forget those who paid the ultimate price so you and I can have freedom to worship and freedom to do many, many things. And so that's what we're about, and that's what we're going to emphasize in just a few moments, or this weekend as well. And so it's not the sermon passage, but let me give you this one verse about that very thing that will maybe help us think about Memorial Day. "One generation shall commend God's works," or His works, "to another." We should commend His works to another. "We shall tell of God's mighty word." That's why we're here, isn't it? God saves us. We tell the next generation, our children, grandchildren, those around us, whether they want to listen or not, we still tell them what God has done in our life, what He's doing, and what He wants to do, and how wonderful He has been. And even again, under that, even how wonderful it is for soldiers and men and women to serve and to sacrifice themselves so that you and I can worship the Lord freely. Let's pray. Father, we love You, and we thank You so much for Your mercy and grace, Lord. Lord, thank You for using men and women in the military in service, Lord, to serve us and serve You and serve our country. Lord, we just don't even know. We can't imagine, Lord, the ramifications if we didn't have that benefit, Father. So we thank You for those who have paid the ultimate price on this weekend, Lord, for us, for You, and for our country. Lord, we love You, and we love these men and women. Lord, there are some that didn't perish. They're still serving. There are some that did serve, and they're not serving anymore. We thank You for them too, Lord. Not just the ones who perished, especially those who perished, but we thank You even for maybe some in our service today who have given themselves for the freedom of our country. Lord, we are indebted to all of these, and we thank You, Lord, because it is a picture of Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus, who paid the ultimate price. In Christ's holy and righteous name, amen.
Turn the page, for a new day has dawned. We've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. Where are the virtues now? lamp once gave us light.
Where are the morals that governed our lives?
Someday we all will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, a hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. The newest rage is to reason it out.
Just meditate and you can overcome any doubt.
After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive.
But I still believe
in the old rugged cross.
And I still believe
there is hope for the lost.
And I know the rock of all ages will stand through the changes of time.
Basics of life, a heart that is pure, and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, a hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. Darkness invade us too long. We better turn the tide. We need the passion that burned long ago to come and open our eyes. There's no room for compromise. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure, and a love that is blind. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure, and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, a hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. The basics of life. The basics of life.
Our voices in song and praise to Him, and that's what we're going to do this morning. My life is in You, Lord. My strength, my hope, it's all in Him. The words are on the screen. Let's stand together as we sing.
My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. In You, it's in You. My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, Lord. In You, it's in You. I'll praise You with all of my life. I'll praise You with
is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. I'll praise you with all of my life. Is in you, Lord, my strength. Is in you, Lord, my hope. Is in you, Lord, in you, it's in you, in you.
Amen. And I pray that you can say that this morning. You do not put your strength or your hope in anything else but Jesus Christ. Because guess what? Everything else you put your strength in is going to fail.
That's right.
Everything you put your hope in on this earth, it's going to fail you. But Jesus will never fail. And that's where our strength and our hope lies, is in Him. And He is great. Let's sing together, How Great is Our God.
We have a memory of what
soldiers have done for us, how they've went off to war and come back, and some of them didn't come back, and so we remember the good things they've done. They did it so you and I could have freedom here in America. They went to another country, perhaps, and fought so that we could have freedom right here. And so tomorrow, if you guys have a picnic or you have a little get-together with family, and you see somebody with a little military hat on, or you see somebody you know that was in the military or still is, I wish you would do a favor for me. I wish you would go up to them and say, I just want you to know I know what Memorial Day means, and I'll never forget, or I remember how important you are and what you've done and what your family has done. So it's something very, very important. We don't talk about it enough, but it's very important. Memorial Day, to remember what men and women who passed away, who died fighting for us and serving for us, it's very, very important. So y'all, tomorrow, if you get a chance, do that for me. Lord, let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for these precious, precious ones. Thank you, Lord, that they've made it through the school year, and now they're about to embark on another year, Lord. And then they'll have more and more to come, and then one day, Lord, they'll start their career and be successful in this life with you and serving in this community or other communities or wherever you plant them. Lord, thank you for what these precious ones mean, Lord, to our church, what they mean to their family, their community, and most of all, Lord, what they mean to you. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen. I'm going to give you all some little jawbreakers. Don't swallow them until you finish, because I don't want to have to do the Heimlich maneuver on any of y'all, okay? So make sure you lick them till they're almost gone.
They are more than just names. More than blocks of stone set in rows. More than memories. They are our brothers and sisters. Our parents and our children. Friends, loved ones, and even strangers who believe that we were worth fighting for. That we were worth dying for. They stand for justice, for courage, for heroism and fearlessness in the face of danger. They stand for the brave men and women who selflessly answered the call and gave their very lives for the cause of freedom. Let us never take their sacrifice for granted, but instead remember with gratitude those who have served. Today, tomorrow, and every day thereafter. By the grace of God, if we walk upon free soil, if we breathe in the sweetness of liberty, let us give thanks. Let us honor the fallen, and let us never forget.
Hymn number 569 is the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Hymn number 569, we'll sing all four stanzas. Let's stand together as we sing.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fearful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I've seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening booth and dance. I can read his righteous sentence by the dead and flaring lance. His day is marching on.
To hymn number 479. Hymn number 479. Onward, Christian soldiers marching to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. We'll sing all four stanzas. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to
Let us pray. Father, in the stillness of this moment, as we humbly come before you, we bow thanking you, Father, for how great and mighty that you are, to show our love for you, that you paid the ultimate price, Father, that we might have this day, we might have this life, and have it abundantly. Let us never forget, Father, the men, the women that has paid the ultimate price, that we might enjoy this day of life with our families and our loved ones, and help us never to forget the families that there will be. An empty place at the table. But we love you and we praise you, Father, for all the blessings of life that you give us. I pray for the ones that stand today between us and the ones that would do us harm or take our lives. They know, Father, they may pay the ultimate sacrifice, but they go do it anyway, and we thank you and praise you for them. But guide and direct us, Father, that our lives will reflect our love for you and our love for our fellow man who's done so much for us. And I thank you for the families, Father, that separated today, their loved ones scattered around the world to keep us safe. Give them the peace that passes all understanding, your contentment. And now, Father, as we return to you, your tithes and our offerings, give us the wisdom and knowledge to use it, Father, in a way that will please and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Miss Lisa. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jonah. As we continue and finish up the series through the book of Jonah this morning. We love happy endings. We love fairy tales and stories where the good guys end up in the end in a good way, and the bad guys lose in the end. And so far, in Jonah, the first three chapters, God's plan has come together. And we know God's plan will come together eventually anyway, but so far it has. And so this morning, as we look at the final chapter of Jonah, I want to remind you of a few things before we read. God called Jonah, we know that. Jonah ran the other direction. He ran away. God sent a storm. Jonah went to sleep. The sailors threw Jonah overboard. The storm ended. The sailors began to worship God, the Bible says. God sends a great fish and swallows up Jonah as he is falling to the bottom of the ocean, of the sea. Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of this great fish, and the fish vomits Jonah out on dry land. Eventually, Jonah goes to Nineveh. After that, he preaches an 8-word sermon, you remember? And the entire city repents. It's the greatest revival ever, and there's never been one like it. Well, you would think Jonah would be happy with all of that happening in his life. But Jonah is like many in our world today. Nothing really makes them happy. All of the blessings, all of the things that God has done for them, but there are one or two things that didn't go their way, and they're frustrated, they're bitter, they're not thankful. Jonah is like that. And so Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to ask if you're able to, let's stand as we read God's word. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 says, "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. I'm struck by some translations of this text here, and even in a devotional type of translation, such as NLT, here's what it says. It says in verse 1 that this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became angry. Change of plans. That's what perhaps is going on here in chapter 4. You know, I want you to know that there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. A little bit of Jonah. Jonah fled. Jonah didn't do what God wanted. Jonah did his own thing. He disobeyed God. There's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. All of us. Jonah's attitude has been clear from the beginning. "I'm fine, Lord. As long as you send those Gentiles, the Ninevites, straight to you know where, I wish you would just open up the earth and swallow them all up. That's where I want them to go. I'm tired of hearing about them. I'm tired of you calling me to preach to them. I don't like them. They hate me. I hate them." That's how Jonah felt. Jonah could care less about the salvation of any of these Ninevites. And I'm afraid even in our own life, there are people that have hurt us, or there's people that have wronged us. There are people that, or we felt that they wronged, and so we're bitter. We don't want to be around them. We don't like them. Maybe they are very difficult people, but we have to be careful, because God may want to use us in some way to pray for them, at least pray for them, those people that we don't like, to help them. And the fact that God showed mercy to Nineveh was a great evil to Jonah. That's what the Hebrew translation. In Hebrew, that word "greatly displeased" there in verse 1, those two words, means great evil. So in Jonah's mind, even though it was a great thing, people got saved. God saved this city of Nineveh. To Jonah, it was a great evil. Isn't it strange how people in our own life, we try to help them, or we try to encourage them, or we're in some way, but to them it's bad. We're trying to do good, but they mistake it for bad. That's just the way life is. That's just our fallen humanity. And so don't be discouraged when there's people like Jonah. When God does great things, He blesses us, He saved us, He kept us from that accident, we're still alive. He brought us out of whatever He brought us out of. And there are few that say, "Thank you, Lord. I am so thankful where I'm at now. I'm not where I ought to be, but Paul said the same thing, the Apostle Paul. But I'm better than I used to be. But there are many in our world that says, God, you hadn't done enough for me. And they're bitter, and they're frustrating, and they cannot stand people to glorify and praise God. Jonah was this way. God did a wonderful thing. The greatest revival ever. And Jonah said, it's a great evil. It's not a great thing. Jonah had it backwards, obviously. The irony of the story is, Jonah was fine when he received the mercy, God's mercy, but yet he didn't want anyone else to receive God's mercy. And there's many like that today as well. They cannot stand other people that have been blessed by God, that have God's favor, and they're frustrated and they're angry and they're mad at God because God hadn't done as much for them or more for them. That's the way Jonah was. One writer brought the truth home this way. You can tell you have made God in your own image, which is a break in the second commandment. You can tell you've made God in your own image when it turns out that God hates the same people you do. We know He don't hate anyone, but when you say that, when you live that way, that I know God doesn't like them either. God's mad at them. He's bitter. They did this to me. They did this to my family, whatever. And God, when you feel that way, you've broken the second commandment. You made God into a false image. So Jonah in verse 3 says, I wish I was dead. Jonah's theology is warped. When he called evil good, good, evil. And it led him down a dangerous road. It's a very dangerous road for some that calls good bad and bad good. For some that has it twisted or warped, it's a very dangerous road to go down. Because once you go down that road and say, no, that's not good. I don't care what God's word said. That's bad. Once you go down that road, you become weak, like Jonah, dangerously weak. And so he was weak-minded. He was miserable. He had a rotten, stinking attitude. And guess what? This was God's man. God could have picked anybody else. But God, even with a rotten, stinking attitude, God still wanted to use Jonah. He wanted Jonah to do it. And so let that be encouragement to you and I. When we have a rotten, stinking attitude, God still wants to use you. You can throw in the towel and say, God, look how bad I've been this week. Look how bad I've been this month, this year, whatever, this decade. But God says, I still want to use you. You're still around. You still can benefit. You can benefit yourself. You can benefit your family. You can do a lot for a lot of people. Don't get discouraged. God wanted to use Jonah, even though he was a rotten, stinking, perhaps the worst missionary ever. God wanted to use him. So the real question here is not, God, what are you doing, going to do with Nineveh? We know what he did with Nineveh. But God, what are you going to do with your man, this guy, Jonah? In the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed. That's where he says, I wish I was dead. In the belly of a fish, Jonah prayed, God, please let me live. Can you imagine again? We talked about it before, sloshing around. Shrimp cocktail, everything else following, seaweed, hitting you, things you don't know, unknown objects, hitting you inside the belly, all that acidic stuff. You would pray, God, let me live too, wouldn't you? I know I would. And then the greatest revival, he says, God, let me die. Isn't that backwards? Isn't that warped? Isn't that twisted? It just shows how even godly people can fall into this kind of twisted, warped mentality. If we're not careful, if we don't stay on guard, if we don't stay on top of our repentance, if we don't stay on top of our confession, we don't stay in God's Word, we don't stay around God's people, we can get out of kilter. Just like Jonah. Jonah leaves and goes to Nineveh. After he leaves Nineveh after the revival, And he goes east of the city, still hoping that God will send down fire and brimstone and destroy the city. But God has other plans. And so God does three things for this man, Jonah. And this is encouragement more to you and I again. Even though we're stinking and rotten, we do things we shouldn't do. We think about people. We think about others. We say things we shouldn't do. Notice what God does to this stinking, rotten missionary. In verse 6, God sends a vine. It's very hot out there. It's real arid. He needs a vine. He needs shade. Something as small as shade, God sends Jonah. God's just saying, I'm sovereign. I can send you shade when I want to. You obey me, I'll bless you. You curse me, I won't. And so God shows him that, and he sends him a vine in verse 6. But then in verse 7, I guess Jonah just doesn't get it. He sends him a worm. And the worm begins to eat the shade, eat the vine. And it begins to diminish the shade. And he also sends, in verse 8, a scorching wind. And so Jonah's shade, Jonah's comfort, as he pouts and he is displeased with God and as he still hates the Ninevites who've just been saved, his shade is gone. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 15 through 18, that some preach Christ out of selfish ambition. And some preach Christ out of false motives. Now, whatever all that means, I don't know. The Holy Spirit, only knows and God knows. But it doesn't seem to bother Paul too much. Paul is just glad that people are preaching. Because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so before we come to a conclusion, look at verse 11 with me. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Look at what it says. But Nineveh, I think I even have it on your screen. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot, this is God talking, who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. God says, should I not be concerned about that great city? As we talked about before, God is concerned about the great city. He's concerned about Montgomery. He's concerned about New York. He's concerned about Tokyo. He's concerned about people because they make up the cities. And so God says, shouldn't I be concerned? And he's saying, you and I should be concerned too. That's why we're here. And so, let me encourage you. Have God's heart for the Ninevites of this world. These rotten, stinking people that hate us, maybe. In some way, at least pray for them. That God would work in their life. And choose not to hate the Ninevites like Jonah did. This story really is about, and this book of Jonah is about, it speaks to all of us who would rather not get involved. Some would rather, like Jonah, remain in their comfy, cozy environment inside the four walls of a church. But God has other plans for us. Until we breathe our last breath, He has other plans. God's greatest problem is not with Nineveh. His greatest problem was with his man Jonah. Ninevites believed when they heard the message. The 8-word sermon. We know the world's going to hell because they don't, the world that doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus. The problem is that many Christians are running the other way, so they don't have to love those who God loves. You know, we're more like Jonah than we realize. If you and I would be honest, we are Jonah, aren't we? We're Jonah. every day in some way. We don't pray for who we should pray for. We don't read God's word as we should. I'm guilty of it too. I'm preaching to myself. We're all Jonah. We run in some way. That's just our fallen humanity. That's why we need the Lord Jesus. We don't just need Him to get out of hell. We need Him every day. And so I take encouragement. Even though I'm like Jonah, God still wants to use me, and He still wants to use you. We're more like Jonah than we would like to admit, because there's a lot of Jonah inside all of us. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. And Lord, I just pray that under the sound of my voice, Father, if there's one that just is being convicted by You, Lord, to come to Jesus today, they've never trusted You, they've never really followed You, they've just maybe went through the motions, they've done the little church thing, went through a prayer, baptism, whatever, but it wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. It wasn't repentance. Father, I pray that today, under the sound of my voice, they'll just cry out to You to save them. Father, it's that simple, and You know that, Father. But many don't want to believe that. They want to make it much more than it is. Lord, if there are some here that's gotten off track, they've let politics and let this world and society and our culture drive their happiness, their influence, their personality, and all of those things. Lord, may we repent of that. May we keep our eyes focused on You. May we rejoice because of You and not rejoice because of our surroundings. Father, thank You, Lord, for our freedoms that comes from all of those that died for us and those that are still fighting. And Lord, our ultimate freedom that comes from Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we love You and we thank You for another day that You've made. May we be glad and rejoice in it. In Christ's holy name. Amen. What number, brother?
As we close, listening, How Great is Our God.